Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 15, Jerusalem and Egypt, Millennia Ago and Today.
In April of 1982, the final Israeli withdrawal from the Sinai took place. It was a tense time, with many Israelis reflecting on the sacrifices that had been made in the area, both in battle and in the efforts to establish places of Jewish life. Ariel Sharon is quoted as reflecting in the moment that, quote, "the battlefields of Sinai have become an inescapable part of the landscape of our lives, from the battle dispositions of Rafah and the Ruafa Dam to Ophira, from Katef to Bir Gafgafa, from the Mitla Pass to the bridgehead at the Suez Canal, from Firden to the quote-unquote Chinese farm. We have sacrificed what is dearest to us, the lives of our fighters. Between the wars," Sharon added, "the sands of Sinai were saturated with our sweat and our labor." So Sharon said, "Most remembered to this day, and most protested by some at the time, was the pullout from Yamit, a town created by Israelis in the desert. And for those participating in effecting the pullout, the mood, as the New York Times describes in an article, was somber. Quote, "The turnover of the 7,500 square miles of territory, representing the last third of the peninsula under Israeli control, was accomplished without fanfare, as a reflection of Israel's sadness and disquiet. There were no joint Israeli-Egyptian ceremonies. Shortly after dawn, a single Israeli flag bearing a blue Star of David against a white field was lowered at Sharm el-Sheikh, the southern outpost that commands the strategic approach to the Strait of Tiran and the Gulf of Aqaba. The troops wept and sang HaTikva, Israel's national anthem, the hope. Then they boarded trucks and buses for the journey north. Two formations of Kfir jet fighters made a final sweep low over the rugged coastline and were gone. Several hours later, the Egyptians raised their flag at Sharm el-Sheikh and at Rafah, on the Mediterranean coast, near the chain-link fence that marks the new international border and divides the city. Egyptian runners brought torches lit in Cairo. A band played, colorful carpets were set out, and there were piles of flowers." End quote. This moment of somber withdrawal by Israel reflected what Begin had said in the Knesset during the original debate over the Camp David Accords. Kein, yesh ksha'im bashalom, yesh korbanot bashalom, yesh. Yes, there are difficulties in making peace, there are. There are sacrifices in making peace, there are. And then Begin added, kulam adifim mimilchama. All are better than war. Along with the somber nature of the Israeli perspective, one could see signs of the fact that despite the assassination of Sadat, what Sadat and Begin had created together was showing endurance. The Times article again, quote, "President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt telephoned Prime Minister Menachem Begin of Israel," officials reported, "and both men pledged their determination to keep their countries in a state of unending peace." Later, in a recorded speech on Israeli television, President Mubarak said that the peace process, quote-unquote, expressed a general popular will in Egypt. "The peace treaty is an important step toward a comprehensive peace, and its aftermath has spread throughout the Middle East," he declared. In the same transmission, Prime Minister Begin called for peace forever. He declared, "The two peoples must live together not only in peace, but also as good neighbors, in friendship, in cooperation. We can help each other in all fields, economic, social, cultural. Let us do so in the future." So the article in the Times reports. And in the end, this moment reflected Begin's vision in its complexity and simplicity. And this moment in the story of Israel and Jerusalem also allows us to look back to another involving Egypt millennia ago. As part of its discussion of the pullout, the New York Times cited a quote from Begin given in an interview about the event on Meet the Press. Begin there said, quote, "I do not agree with the cynics who say that the peace treaty is a piece of paper. It is not. It is the most serious commitment. Then I would like to add that our Egyptian friends know very well, if at any time they should commit a breach of their commitments under the peace treaty, then Israel's reaction will be swift." End quote. This may sound like a less than cheerful note to put forward, but it reflects the fact that for Begin, there was no contradiction between the biblically inspired Jabotinskyite aspect of his vision, which focused on sovereignty over the land of Israel, strength against all threats to the Jewish people, and no compromise on the Jewish right to Jerusalem on the one hand, with a profound embrace of peace on the other. Aryeh Naor reports in an Israeli TV news series called Yimei Begin, The Days of Begin, that Begin had told him that he had dreamt of peace with Egypt from the moment that the state of Israel came into being. We know, of course, that Begin also fought to bring Israel into being. The striking joining of the themes of Begin's life as applied to Israel's relationship with Egypt, the focus on a strong Israel in the Holy Land and a peace with its most mighty neighbor outside the Holy Land, allows us, as our series draws toward its conclusion, to look back to an episode from the beginning of our series. Recall how Egypt first appeared prominently in the story of Jerusalem, Solomon's marriage to the daughter of Pharaoh, which, as we cited from the Egyptologist Toby Wilkinson, would have reflected a profound weakness in Egypt at the time and a domination of Egypt in a Solomonic empire. We further saw how Solomon's remarkable vision of the temple in Jerusalem was one in which many around the world would be drawn to Jerusalem, to its sanctity, to the miracle of Israelite Jerusalem. That universal aspect of Solomon's vision was itself an incredible one. But Solomon's mistake, as we further argued, was seeking the fulfillment of this vision through empire. Thus, we were told by the Bible that Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. As we further noted, Solomon's strategy of expansion of empire reflected itself in his marriage with royal princesses from various pagan dynasties, beginning with the daughter of Pharaoh. In the end, it is this strategy of empire that undid Solomon so that, in the ultimate irony, the man who sought to rule an empire ended up having much of the land of Israel itself taken from his family's rule and handed to Jeroboam. Now, thousands of years after Solomon, much of the glory of his era is still yearned for by Jews. We pray for the restoration of the temple and for the radiant presence of God making itself manifest within it. But the political and theological perspective learnt from the biblical tale is that the Jewish people have a right and duty to seek a safe and secure commonwealth in the Holy Land, to safeguard its unique connection to Jerusalem, and to seek to develop Jerusalem's sanctity without empire, so that the Jewish state in the Holy Land itself and the Jewish city at its core can serve as a radiant spiritual beacon to the world.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
Meanwhile, Begin reflected his desire for peace by remembering the man with whom he had built that peace, the man to whom he had stressed the Jewish right to Jerusalem, the man with whom he had argued, the man Begin clearly missed. The Times article continues, quote, Mr. Begin and his wife Aliza sent a telegram to Jihan Sadat, the widow of President Anwar el-Sadat, whose bold vision to Jerusalem in November 1977 began the process of Israeli-Egyptian peace. He was assassinated last October. Our hearts, madame, go out this day to you and the children and grandchildren, Mr. and Mrs. Begin wrote. Anwar Sadat of blessed memory should have been with us to see the glory of his efforts to make peace and achieve reconciliation between the good peoples of Egypt and Israel. End quote. This letter was mentioned in one of our previous episodes, but a mention of it should be joined with another letter that was written between Mrs. Sadat and the Prime Minister. It came not long after, when the love of Begin's life, his wife Aliza, passed away. Jihan Sadat wrote, quote, Dear Menachem, I imagine your shock and feelings of helplessness when the news was broken to you of Aliza's cruel death. A lifetime of sheer hopes and disappointments, of joy and sadness, suddenly smashed in a moment. Surely only those who have suffered in the same way can understand fully what you are feeling now. Let me add my own heartfelt tribute to a grief which nothing will ever truly brush away from your heart. These are times when sympathy is not enough, but please accept the spontaneous overflow of my feelings. for a great lady who I grew to love and respect, and please accept the hand of friendship and solidarity in this moment of utter loneliness, which you will find difficult to live with. Remember, I too have had to travel through the bitter valley of shock and loneliness, and I well remember your kindness and genuine sympathy towards me little more than a year ago. I too have felt what you are feeling now, and I too have had to find reasons to overcome despair. We share a belief in divine providence, and that is one of the great consolations of all the bereaved. But you and my late husband shared as well a deep commitment to the cause of peace, and I am certain that we owe it to the memory of our dearest to continue to serve the ideal which inspired them. Let us live, warmed by the memory of past happiness and sustained by the hope that we in our own turn may leave the world a better and a kinder place for generations to come. Take comfort, dear friend. I know that Anwar al-Sadat had great confidence in your own faith in peace and human concord, and he may have differed with you on the means toward a noble end, but I am certain you are both dedicated to the same ideal of peace. Jihan Sadat, 15 November 1982. So Jihan Sadat wrote, with Begin responding, and Yehuda Avner, in his book, gives us a beautiful image of the actual correspondence. As the final parts of the story of the peace accords comes to a close, there is perhaps one other interesting exchange of letters that deserves to be mentioned. The TV series Yemei Begin reveals that after the original vote in the Knesset in support of the Camp David Accords, the Israeli writer Amos Oz penned a letter to the Prime Minister praising Begin, but Begin in response disagreed with the nature of Oz's praise. Oz had written to Begin describing what he saw as a contradiction in Begin's life. Oz wrote, "Nidmeli sha'ani misugal letzayar li bedimyoni et omek hamachov shebo Nasita kasher chatamta al ktav eskem hadoresh siluk yishuvim ivriim." It seems to me, Oz wrote, that I must describe to myself in my imagination the depth of the pain which you underwent when you signed on an agreement which would seek the removal of Jewish settlements. By this, of course, Oz was referring to the withdrawal of the Jewish settlements in the Sa'anai. And Oz continued, "Ata amata bekrav shehu ulay hakasheh shebechol hakrovot." You stood in a battle which is, perhaps, the most difficult of all battles. Milchemet Adam Bal Emunot Videot, the battle of a man with beliefs and opinions. Im Nafsho, with his own soul. V'im Hanigun Shebeshorash Nishmato, and with the song at the root of his soul. In response, Begin wrote that there was no contradiction between his fighting for a strong Israel and his seeking peace. Begin responded, "Afilu Imachziv Otcha, even if I disappoint you, Chavoti lomar et ha'emet, it is my duty to speak the truth. Ein li shum mavakim pnimiim ka'ila, I have no such internal struggles. Hayiti v'nish'arti adam v'yudi pashut, I was and I remain a simple human being and Jew. Ani mishuchna ki aderach shaba hineni holech nechonahi, I am convinced that the path on which I am traveling is the correct one. Shelcha b'chavod u'bracha em Begin, yours with honor and blessing. M. Begin." Begin's worldview was complex, but it was rooted in his seeing himself as a Yehudi Pashut, a simple Jew. A vision of a strong Israel, unapologetic in its right to Jerusalem, at peace with its neighbors. Looking back on the last 45 years, and on an agreement which has held, and on an Israel which is even stronger than it was, we see a vindication of Begin's vision. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.